And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Welcome back, everyone. It is a brand new week.
It is a brand new week. Looking forward to it.
All right. We have a major headlines to cover, as always. The medical strike continues with, it seems, medical professors ready to hold an emergency meeting today. We start there. Our first keyword of the day.
Resigning professors.
So medical school professors are now inching closer to collective resignation in protest of government plans to increase medical school admissions. But the government is adamant about, well, keeping those quota in place. What's the latest, Adam?
Yeah, so still no kind of leeway from either side. They're pretty much putting their foot down on this matter continuously. And professors from 16 medical schools have decided to submit resignations en masse on March 25th. This came after a meeting on Friday. Ahead of this, professors from Seoul National University College of Medicine are also adjusting their plans to possibly align with this timeline as well. They'll hold an online meeting at 5 p.m. this afternoon to discuss when to submit their resignation letters. Now, the call for mass resignation among medical professors is spreading. Now, this movement might spread even further as well following today's meeting. Though the professors have promised to stay with their patients until resignations are accepted, there's a growing concern about the potential chaos in healthcare if there wasn't one already. Now, the government has accused professors of blackmailing people with collective resignations. The Vice Health Minister, Pang Min-soo, rejected a demand from medical professors that the government first back off from its decision to increase the medical school quota. He reaffirmed the government's decision to increase the medical school quota by 2,000, so still no change there. Park also rejected calls for raising health insurance payments to doctors as well, especially those in essential sectors short of physicians, saying such hikes without increasing the medical school quota would lead to a 4- to 5-fold hike in health insurance premiums. So the government is still pretty adamant of not backing down on its plan, but despite this whole backlash from the medical community, and now which is spreading to medical professors as well. So they are technically doctors as well. So yeah, the medical crisis is expected to continue for the foreseeable future.
All right. The potential mass resignation of medical professors is scheduled for next Monday, right? So in that week's time, will this tug of war just intensify? Because it's just been at a stalemate for weeks. We've been covering this, but that's the latest on that front. Let's move on to Summit for Democracy, our second keyword of the day.
Blinken in Korea.
On a rather windy day, he arrived. Did you see him getting off the plane? U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is in Korea to attend the third Summit for Democracy, which is scheduled to kick off today, for the next 3 days. What can we expect?
Yes, so this is his first visit to Korea in about 4 months. Now, the summit, which runs from today until Wednesday, will bring together government officials and NGOs and civil society members. It's spearheaded by the U.S. President Joe Biden, and it aims to boost solidarity among democracies. This third meeting is designed to showcase how the U.S. and other democracies collaborate to tackle major global challenges. Blinken will speak at both the opening ceremony and a ministerial session focused on AI and democracy, interestingly. Now, the ministerial sessions will be held on the first day, which is today, followed by panel discussions involving civic groups the next day. The leaders' session will take place virtually on the last day, in which Joe Biden will also be present. Now, Blinken is also set to talk about protecting information integrity during the roundtable with experts. Now, additionally, Blinken will meet Foreign Minister Cho Tae-yeol for discussions on how to boost the alliance. They'll also discuss other issues of mutual concern, including the situation on the Korean Peninsula and in the region. Blinken is also expected to pay a visit to President Yoon, so eyes will be on what they discuss as well. Now, after concluding his activities in Korea, Blinken will then travel to the Philippines. Now, issues with China, including disputes over the South China Sea, are likely to top the agenda as well.
It's a U.S.-led initiative pioneered by the Biden administration. Now, a little bit more on the significance of holding a summit for democracy outside of Washington, where the idea first came to fruition, and hosted in Korea. More on this with Professor Kim Byung-jun, our second hour, too. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll leave it there for now. Let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Military drills.
So South Korea has conducted large-scale military exercises around the western border islands to practice... Good morning. To practice deploying forces in the event of North Korean provocations, tell us the details.
Yes, I certainly will. And I'll let you have a breather while I'm talking about it as well. Now, it took place around the islands of Paenyeongdo and Yeonpyeongdo, areas often called the power kegs, quote unquote, of the Korea Peninsula. Now, this training, conducted on Friday, was designed to quickly bring in forces and respond firmly if North Korea makes any aggressive moves in this area. And there has been precedent of it, especially on Yeonpyeongdo Island, where a lot of Marines lost their lives. Now, the drill involved the Marines' Quick Maneuver Force, the Navy's amphibious ships, and the Marine Corps' amphibious assault helicopters and vehicles as well. The Army's helicopters also joined in, practicing how they would strengthen the defense of these islands in a real situation. Now, this large-scale training comes at a time when concerns are growing about potential provocations from North Korea, especially with upcoming elections in April. Now, historically, major provocations by North Korea have occurred near these islands, as the ones I've mentioned, including the one, the sinking of the ship on Yeonpyeongdo Island many years back. So eyes are on what sort of provocations North Korea will conduct, if any, this time round, although it is likely that they will, especially as they do provocate after some joint
military drills
right. between South Korea and the US, the Freedom Shield, which happened recently as well, has, of course, angered Pyongyang. So, yeah, there are some concerns of some military provocations, and these drills are aimed at responding to them.
All right, so we'll be on the lookout for the scale and the scope of course, North Korea's provocations. And thank you for taking over. I'm not quite sure if anyone understood my opener. All right, let's move on.
Early mornings always get the best of us, I'm afraid.
It's dusty in here. It's dusty outside.
Right.
All right, let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Wage comparison.
So a recent report shows that the average wage of Korean workers at conglomerates surpassed that of Japanese workers for the first time in 2022. But there are certain red flags that we should also take note of. Tell us the details.
Right. So according to the report by the Korea Enterprises Federation, employees at Korea's big companies earned 5.88 million won on a monthly average. So that's up 157.6% from the 2.28 million won that was recorded 20 years ago. So there's been a significant wage hike here in Korea, although I'm not really feeling it. But the 2022 amount was higher than the average monthly wage of Japanese workers at conglomerates at 4.43 million won, which was down about 7% from about 4.8 million won in 2002. Now, back in 2002, the situation was actually the opposite, with the average monthly wage of Japanese workers at large conglomerates or companies at 4.84 million won, with Koreans making significantly less. The report also showed that the average monthly wage of Korean workers at SMEs was 3.4 million won in 2022. That's slightly higher than that of Japanese SME workers at 3.32 million won, also opposite from the situation 2 decades ago, but it's not a significant difference. Now, the average monthly wage of Korean workers at companies with 10 or more employees came to 4 million won in 2022, also outstripping the 3.79 million won that was earned by Japanese workers. Now, the wage of Korean workers increased overall, unlike that of Japanese workers, but the wage gap between big companies and SMEs sharply widened in Korea, while it lessened in Japan. Now, Korean SME workers earned 57.7% of what conglomerate workers did, while Japanese SME workers received 73.7% of the wage of workers at big companies. So it seems like those working in SMEs in Japan actually earn significantly more than their Korean counterparts. Mm-hmm. Now, the report also looked at changes in actual working hours alongside wage increases in Korea and Japan, showing even more significant differences in wage growth rates. Now, while monthly working hours in Korea decreased by about 14% over 20 years, the total monthly wages increased by a whopping 122%. Now, the hourly wage in Korea also jumped from 9,954 won in 2002 to 25,661 won in 2022, an increase of about 158%. Now, meanwhile, Japan saw little change in both working hours and wages during the same period. Now, the KEF suggested that due to the wage disparity and its consequences, high-wage large companies should limit wage increases and focus on creating more youth jobs and improving the business conditions of SMEs so that they can pay their employees more as well and leapfrog Japan in that regard as well.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Some comparisons there in the Korean and Japanese job markets and our wages. Let's move on to our final tech-related keyword of the day.
AI collaboration.
You talked about the Summit for Democracy on this segment, right? And frankly, with such an important election year across the world, I think AI and its potential interference and things like that also comes into big question. AI is just the key word, period.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI and also developer of the AI chatbot ChatGPT, expressed hope to collaborate with Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix on developing AI chips in particular. He was speaking at a special event at the firm's San Francisco headquarters called K-Startup and OpenAI Matching Day.
Right, Matching Day. Interesting choice of words because, of course, OpenAI wants to match its technological prowess with Korean companies as well. Now, this event was part of a program to find Korean startups to collaborate with OpenAI, in fact, and Altman was asked if there's a chance to make AI chips with Samsung and SK Hynix. He said he visited them twice in the last 6 months and would like to work with them, praising them as fantastic companies. And he cited his trips to Korea in June last year and this January as well. And during his January visit, Altman toured Samsung's semiconductor production line and met with top executives from Samsung and SK. Now, OpenAI is looking to create its own AI chips as well, not just the software for artificial intelligence, but also the hardware involved. And he emphasized OpenAI's ambition to create what's known as AGI, or artificial general intelligence, and the openness to building something independently or in partnership. So if it is in partnership, he's looking for the likes of Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, big players in the global semiconductor market, of course. Now, you mentioned that decisions about establishing an in-house silicon team would be based on minimizing ancillary tasks necessary for AGI construction. So basically saying that whether OpenAI wants the extra work or not is yet to be decided. And if it doesn't, then it'll probably partner with Korean companies to offload some of that work. Now, the event also showcased 14 Korean startups that were selected from a pool of 220 companies. Now, this selection highlighted OpenAI's initiative to partner with startups from a specific country and showcase the competitiveness on Korean startups in the global AI landscape. Now, these 14 companies were the finalists chosen by OpenAI from a preliminary competition that was held in Korea in December. So it certainly goes to show that Korea is doing quite well in terms of AI. It's certainly been a word, or two words, shall I say, that's been propping up in a lot of news headlines in recent years. And it's an area in which the Yoon administration is looking to develop and nurture into a future technology and possible export item as well. It's certainly taken over a lot of our devices of late. Samsung's latest phones, for example, and not just Samsung, but a lot of other phones as well. They're implementing a lot of AI technology into their devices rather than kind of the other hardware upgrades that are usually marketed around the launch of new devices. So, yeah, the software side of things are certainly improving and being showcased by a lot of tech giants recently. And OpenAI, certainly with ChatGPT, making significant strides as well. And he's also, Altman has also touted his next project, which is, I think it was ChatGPT-5 or something, the next generation of this OpenAI and chatbot system, making and a bit more clever, basically.
More clever as the days go by. Didn't we just talk about the possibility of killer robots coming out in the next 10 years or so?
Gosh, will we have a Terminator scenario coming to reality? That is a concern, isn't it?
No fear-mongering on Good Morning Seoul. There are regulators out there exactly looking out for that, right? And putting the brakes on things. But you're right. I mean, AI is everywhere. I mean, my washing machine is smarter than ever before. It can calculate how much detergent it needs. All I need to do is fill it up once a month. I mean, the things it can do.
Home appliances, your fridge tells you when food is going bad as well.
Yes.
So yeah, it's certainly being implemented a lot more in our daily lives. Will we become lazy because of it? That's another kind of question that's brought into the fray. But it's certainly taking over. It's something that I guess you and I and a lot of others have to accept, I guess. It is the movement of the time.
Convenience comes with a price. What kind of price? We'll keep tabs on it. Thank you so much, Adam. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. I'll see you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.